Lord, your goodness makes me raise amid your people songs of praise. Before all them that fear you, now I worship you and pay my vow. I worship you and pay my vow. As mentioned already today, that will be the topic of the topical sermon today, vows. We just heard some vows. We sang about vows. And in Psalm 116, vows are mentioned another time. I invite you to turn to the next scripture we'll be hearing from today, Psalm 116. We did recently hear a long sermon on this, Psalm 116. We went through it verse by verse. We saw how it reveals the life and the work of Jesus. We won't be doing the verse by verse exposition of this. This will be used to set in motion or continue the motion of the subject of vows. We'll revisit the psalm at the end of the service. We'll sing it, but we'll read the end of it here and look at the conclusion as it speaks of paying your vows in the presence of all of the Lord's people. Notably, again, we just heard some vows, and that is the occasion for today's sermon. Sometimes we call them topical sermons. I sometimes call them occasional sermons because they celebrate an occasion, and the occasion today is the vows and the Lord's sacrament. And so we'll continue our series in John's first letter next week. That's the plan. On my calendar, I saw this very prospective festive day where we would have up to 7 professions of faith and 4 babies baptized. And it turns out that my calendar doesn't always align with other people's calendars. I did try. This was supposed to be Vow Fest. But we have started, and you will see more of this, Lord willing, throughout the summer as people present their children as well to the water of baptism that reveals Christ. We are looking forward to that, and on this very day we're celebrating it in terms of this occasion of vows. And so, having heard those words and seen the sacrament, hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us now in Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for living this psalm for us so that we can enter into it also and celebrate your goodness and celebrate your faithfulness, the promises you made, your presence with us in Christ. Lord, renew us this day in our own faith and our walk as you lead us by your Spirit forward to the holy city. We pray for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. When sheep make vows, that's the title for today's occasional sermon. And some of you, and I put in my notes, hopefully remember that title from a few years ago, because some of you were a part of what seemed like an eternal series. I don't know if we hit 30. There might have been 30 sermons in the evening. We had one in the morning and like 29 in the evening. On this subject, with this title, When Sheep Make Vows. And I want to revisit that today for the occasion. It's already mentioned and started. And for some of you, it might be fresh material, something to think about. If it doesn't all hold together, it could be because there's another like 160 pages of information that you won't be hearing. But early in the series, I would ask this, are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? And that sounds silly, but in the context of God's flock, you think, oh, I see that. Am I a sheep? Am I part of God's family? And then questions were asked like, if you say yes, then I could ask also, well, says who? Who says you're a member of God's family? How do we know that? How would you know that? How would anyone know that? And as part of the portal system, I set before you vows as markers, as words that are weighty, that go forward from you into a place like this before God, that designate and that are formal, which is one reason we use forms. Maybe you have stood up here and said, I do, to these words, words like them, making commitments. That's part of being an American, I suppose, is that we're nervous about commitments. I'm not picking on the culture, but it seems like we all want to be part of a community. Community sounds good, but commitment? I don't want to be committed to a community. So vows are like, well, that's a, you're getting in my yard on that one. But here's the thing. Can you have community without commitment? A functioning, faithful flock with a discernible commitment to something. It's part of what we were looking at when sheep make vows. In God's flock, vows are a thing. They're very practical, too. I'll give you a brief definition. There are different ways to do this, but here's a brief definition of a vow. A vow is something one has promised, particularly to God or to other persons, that binds one to them. It's a binding, weighty, solemn, serious, formal process. When God speaks, he says things like, I will. He says things like, I am. He says, amen. Truly, truly. Words of covenant and consequence and his own commitment to his people. God makes promises. He made good on all of his promises. And that's good to hear. And so when we make promises, how do these sound? We applied most of the series to the vows of church membership, that your votives engage your motives and put into motion your emotions. You don't need to write that down. I was turning a phrase and I was pleased with myself, so I thought I'd mention that. But we looked at also the reality that vows thread their way throughout our own society. They show up in places you might not remember or until someone points them out like I'm about to. We just heard baptismal vows. They're solemn, they're weighty, they're meaningful. We have the formality and forms that I read from that even find expression in professions of faith that we heard over here. Not long ago, we heard ordination vows that took place down here somewhere on the floor. Marriage vows, we hear those pretty often. I've mentioned in the past, as we're talking about the practical theology of these vows, including the church membership vows, marriage vows, you can use those, I have used those, for premarital counseling. People ask, well, I'll ask them, what are your vows? You're going to sing your vows, you're going to do standard vows, and you can move forward saying you're making these promises because the day may come when there's marital distress, God forbid, and the weightiness and the wonder of those words that you said on a happy day don't seem so binding to you anymore, and you want to take exception and say, well, that was just for a certificate, or that was just part of the tradition. I didn't really mean those words. Too late. And in marriage counseling, you can appeal to, what were your vows? What did you promise before God and the witnesses? Vows are weighty. They're serious. I think you know that. But I'm revisiting this theme on occasion and on this occasion in particular to remind us of these deep truths that are for our good. Some might think you're better off not making vows and not being so precise in them, not using formalities like formulas and formularies. Is it better to go vowless in your life? Just wing it. Drop the commitment part and anything that sounds formal and dressed up. Are they worthy of use, vows? Are they wise, for that matter? What about the practice? Throughout the series, we talked about church membership. We asked questions like, is it even a biblical idea? When does it begin? There's a lot of ways to approach that. When does your church membership begin? And you got some options on that. And we started pondering these practical realities and the theology surrounding it. And I used the term portal. A portal, you go through something, and on the other side, something happens. And for membership, if you were to say, I'm a member of this church, again, I asked earlier, how would I know that? How do you know that? And I'm featuring the vow portion of this. It's a matter of practical theology, serving the church by having these vows, with leadership and laity, the shepherds and the sheep alike taking vows, because church membership vows, they do provide a very prescribed, a precise expression of what's expected of the covenant commitments that are made in a very particular place by very particular people. You, me, we. So the proposition was something like this. When sheep make vows, faithful shepherds need to ensure a faithful following of Christ as vowed by following up and following through on the personal and formal commitments made before God and man. Okay, and then we broke that down into an outline. Oh, look, I have with me today my outline from about 170 pages of writing. There it is. And you think, well, how can you read all these forms and think you're going to get me to sit here through another 29 sermons? I'm not. I'm going to review rapidly, and I'll show you how rapidly this works. When sheep make vows, exploring the practical theology of church membership vows. The first point is the purpose of vows. The purpose of vows, I don't know, that was about 8 sermons. And it was pretty technical, and so my summary of that will be, I'm skipping it. I gave some examples and some backdrops too, but I'm just going to skip. So see how fast that went? Okay, the first main point, gone. Second main point, the sub-points were, this is the process of it. So we have the purpose and then the process of vows. They showed you a picture of the family table, and then it moved to the formularies because something happened on the way up to this spot today. It didn't just happen. And we expect the family here, as we just vowed, will take the truths that we confess and teach them, and you will help the child, right? So we talked about catechism as a formal process and as a formative process, and then the day of commitment itself when all of this happy celebration comes about. That's one summary. I also have, and this is probably about 12 sermons. I think I can do it in 12 seconds. Ready? Vows practically combine confession with verbal commitment of Christ and his authority. Vows bring order and clarity to who the sheep and the shepherds are in a particular place. And vows express commitment levels. And so I made a tongue twister out of all that. Here's the tongue twister. When vows get verbalized, a vortex of veracity gets formed that needs to become visible, vital, and verified formally by way of formulary in ways familiar and, Lord willing, familial. 12 sermons. Or so. And notice that there's something going on with forms and family and veracity, the truth that comes out of your mouth. There's a process. It doesn't just happen like that. Lord willing, these people don't just come up and say, I do. We want to review, at least at some level, what do you mean by I do? There's a process involved. There's a purpose and a process. And then there's the performance of the vows. The performance of the vows, we already sang part of it from the psalmist, from you comes my praise and the great congregation, my vows I will perform before those who fear him. That's in Psalm 22. Also in Psalm 116, which we'll close the service with today, singing it. And we read from earlier. So these would be the duties of the sheep. You're growing, you're filling up, you're following through on the vows that you made. Because promises need precision. I gave the example back in the day that if you say, I promise to do that thing I said last week. You trust me on that? Okay. Well, how are you going to measure that? That's not as nearly as compelling or as comforting as this statement. I promise I will deposit the mortgage check at Banner Bank before 5 p.m. this Friday. You like that one better? It's more clear what's expected of me. It's very precise, and I promised I would do it. And you can check it. Now, both of the affirmations, I promised you that thing I said last week, that's not as sure. It might have been sincere, but it's not very measurable. And in some ways, it's not very meaningful because it needs to get performed in a particular way. So unless and until the funds are in the Banner Bank, the commitment is not completed. It's not performed. It's not fulfilled. And so when sheep make vows, the same thing is true. You need to carry out commitments made publicly before God and his people. I also find it maybe a happy coincidence that the word performance has in the center of it the word form. The word form, performance. It's formal. You're carrying this out. You're following through on what you said you do. And as noted throughout our current series in John's first letter, there's faith, love, and obedience. Remember, going with the flow. Faith, love, obedience. They interweave together. And the basic reality of the Christian life is viewed even in a letter like that. Followers of the Good Shepherd must do something. We perform our duties. We find expression in daily life with one another in the body. And also in the midst of a world that's watching. John's very clear about this in the letter. There's not only liars in the midst, but the world is doing its thing. And the world is very aware, maybe not as interested as we want them to be, but they watch Christians. And like I mentioned earlier, we'll keep saying, they don't like us. There's a reason for that. So here the world's watching. How do we live? How do we follow? And so there John is upholding as God's dear children this gospel fruit, and he calls, really compels the followers of Jesus to go with this flow and walk in the light, faith, love, and obedience. So there's Jesus. He comes in the flesh, as John tells us. He comes into our world. He's made manifest. He comes to save us from our sin, really to save us from God's wrath against our sin. And the followers know something. The followers know, I am duty bound. I have a new life. I've been born again. And I want to follow through, I want to follow up on what the Lord has said, and specifically because of what the Lord has done, I want to follow this way. So there's John's letter, brief summary, we'll keep going through that in our series. He's not just laying out a bunch of moralistic obligations, you better do this, but there's an outflow, there's an overflow, maybe it's a better picture, of a changed heart. It's just flowing, your whole life. It reflects this. Duties for growing sheep that are grounded in the gospel of what Jesus has done. Jesus did all the saving work, all of it. And so I can serve him freely. I can rest assured my labors, my duties are not in vain, and they're going to bear fruit. And sometimes along this pilgrim way to Zion, we hear vows that are made, like today. So here's this topic again, performing your vows in the form of offering vows. And here the followers are free. No one made them do this. They're very free to specify with grateful responses to grace. What does that look like? Even as we've heard already today in membership vows and baptismal vows, we have purpose and process and performance. And in practice, in terms of a practical theology, theology that walks around, in this case, when sheep make church membership vows, we should be seeing something very lofty coming into view. We apply this, these precise words, these promises, faith and fidelity to Jesus, as we just heard. And we're focusing, it might seem like it's a very narrow focus on formalities. But the point is showing up that we are a peculiar people. We stand out. We shine light. We have the light of Christ in us. And together in the Savior, we are both duty-bound and glory-bound. It's both and. We're going somewhere together and to glory because of Jesus. And as a result, we can make these vows. We make them now. We hear them as binding. And we also find them quite beautiful. It's not just a, you better do this. There's a beauty. There's a benefit. There's a benefit in this by way of vows. Members, you can know who the members are. Those who belong here, those who give an account to particular shepherds, this is a blessed reality, to know where you belong and who the shepherds are. It's blessed for the covenant community as a whole. We share the same story. We have the same good shepherd. We have the same Lord, same promises, same destination. And even as we hear in the 23rd Psalm, we see a shepherd here. It's the same shepherd, the good shepherd. It's Jesus. And because of Jesus, we're not going to be in want. In fact, in the end, his sheep are provided everything they need, the psalmist says. Everything they could ever desire. There's no valley. There's no vow, even, that can separate us from his care, his steadfast love. That's because his words are sure, his mercies are sure. Cups are overflowing, as seen in that song. And so there, when the sheep make vows, certain things follow. And one of the things that follows is the particular sheep who follow the good shepherd. He makes promises to you. We are free to make promises and follow him. When sheep make vows on earth in a church, here we have faithful shepherds. We sometimes call them elders, ministers, pastors. And we need to ensure that there is a faithful following of Jesus. How? As vowed. Just like I said with the marriage vows. Can we break this down? What did you say? Love, cherish? Really? Submit to? Yeah. Okay. Purposefully, with a process, and here, publicly, in a very particular place in God's kingdom. In this case, the Tri-Cities, Washington. Clarity, precision, afforded in the practice of vowing, and it serves God's church. It's beneficial. It's beautiful. It's beneficial for shepherd and sheep alike. We have these designations, making boundaries, measurable means, precise words with weightiness. If you're thinking that this is going to be one of those 37-minute sermons, it's not. I'm almost done. So how will we bring this in for a landing? If we're looking at this grand theme that took a long time to cover, this is where I'm fast-forwarding to right here. We have vows that are formal. Check. That involve actual forms, oftentimes. Check. With instruction and things like that, and lists and roles and rules and rulers and titles like elder, overseer, pastor. And all of these are placed very providentially over the sheep to ensure something. And at times to enforce something. That sounds terrible, but sheep solemnly said they would do these things. Do you vow 1, 2, 3, 4? I do. Again, no one makes you say the vow. Many of you said, I do. And that vow looks like something in real life, in Christian living. And in this setting, and I dare say it this way, in the organized, institutional church, church membership vows serve to qualify, they serve to quantify something even, accountability, and the precise terms of the commitments that are made right here. Locally, shepherds know who their sheep are by name, and significantly, the sheep know who rightfully is called by God to shepherd their souls. It's a beautiful relationship, and by the way, a divine design. Shepherds and sheep serving together the King of Glory. Ultimately, of course, it will be the Lord himself who fulfills all things. You need your salvation. He does that work. You need your safety. He does that. If you need righteousness, only he provides that. If you need rest by the green pastures and the still waters, Jesus does that. That's good to know. The good shepherd does this. And here it's prophesied, realized in Jesus, the promise of old should ring true. This is from Ezekiel 34, and here this will lead us to our happy conclusion on this occasion day. Listen to this sure word. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. Did you hear there? What the Lord will do, his promise. And in fact, in Jesus, what the Lord has done. He makes the promise. He lays down his life for the sheep, and he gathers them. He brings them. He takes us all the way home. And through it all, Zion awaits. if you can set your sights to that. And faith will be made sight when we get there. The pasture's green. We'll see a holy city that's beaming, beckoning. The good shepherd's calling you. And thankfully, he has made good on all of the promises. He proves himself as faithful and true. And that's always gospel truth. That's always good news. And it's good news for lost sheep. Lost sheep that he brings home, having been found by Jesus, having been bound to Jesus. We are grateful followers. We delight to hear his voice, to do his bidding, to learn from him, and to lean on him. That's a lifelong posture for the sheep. And it's especially proper when sheep make vows. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Words of promise, words of gospel truth, news of your word made flesh so that sinners could come back to life and sing your praises and tell others what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, let the desire of our hearts be to live and to tell and to confess your goodness and your grace. And when it finds expression in the form of vows, Lord, send your spirit before us so that we might truly live out what was spoken gladly in this community and in covenant with you. We ask for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we close by singing the words we read earlier. It's Psalm 116. We'll use tune C, 116C. Let's stand as we sing.